Hear now the word of God as recorded for us in the book of Acts and later in the book of Luke. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Samothrace, and the next day, we went on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. And from Luke, as the crowds increased, Jesus said, "This is a wicked generation. It asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites, so also will the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with the people of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with his generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now something greater than Jonah is here. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden, or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body also is full of darkness. See to it, then, that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light, and no part of it is dark, it will be just as full of light as when a lamp shines its light on you." May the Lord bless this reading to our hearts and minds.
Amen. One of the most delightful things about life in Christ is that what seems to us like trivial events or even disappointments can bring about amazing results by the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what happened in Philippi. As it turns out, the church at Philippi wound up being just about Paul's favorite church. If you read through the book of Philippians, you see so much love and gratitude that Paul is expressing to them, like when he's praying for them and he says, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." And then he thanks them for their consistent financial support. He says, "As you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need." And you know what? If it hadn't have been for blocked travel plans and a willingness to talk about Jesus even to a women's prayer circle sitting by the bank of the river, If there hadn't been that willingness there, the Philippian church would never have been. It seemed like tiny little things, tiny little details in a travel narrative. But what really is going on is God is showing us how the Holy Spirit works through little tiny details. Paul and his companions, Silas, Timothy, and Luke, were stuck in what is now Turkey. They expected to go west to Ephesus, but we are told that the Holy Spirit blocked them. So then they planned to go north. Nope, Spirit of Jesus blocked them there too. So what were they going to do? Well, they went south to Troas, which was a port city, and they just waited there hoping for more inspiration. And they got it. That is where Paul had this vision of a man imploring him to come to Macedonia and help them. So they do. They cross the Aegean Sea to Macedonia, which is located just north of Greece. And now what? Macedonia is a big place. Come over to Macedonia. Didn't specify where in Macedonia. And they don't have internet. It's okay, they can't be searching. What do? Well, they go to the first reasonable-sized city next to where they landed. And it happened that that city was Philippi. And they went exploring around for a few days to see what was up. Now, generally, Paul's method of operation was to go and preach to folks in a synagogue and try to get them to understand that Jesus is the Messiah. And he would also speak to Gentiles who were interested in hearing what he had to say. And then he would build a church out of the Jewish people and the Gentile people who were interested in following Jesus. Well, he couldn't do that in Philippi. There was no synagogue. Apparently, there were not even 10 Jewish men in the whole city, because that was the minimum requirement back then for a synagogue. So what's he going to do now? He can't go preach in the synagogue. There isn't one. But he hears that there's a prayer group on the bank of a river that meets on the Sabbath. Okay, so that's where he goes, and he finds a group of Gentile women praying there. Now, here's one of those turning points that I talked to you about last week. Paul and his companions could have been disappointed. They could have said, well, we're wasting our time here. We're never going to build a church just out of a bunch of women. Oh, man. We should just go someplace else. But bless their hearts, they did not say that. Bless their hearts, they said, okay, fine, this is what God wants us to do. That's what we'll do. And they sit down and they start talking with the women. And guess what? The Holy Spirit opens Lydia's heart. She's baptized. And since she is the head of a household, and apparently quite a wealthy household as well, when she's baptized, everybody in her household gets baptized. And not only that, but she was probably the leader of that prayer circle. And so probably all the other women in the prayer circle got baptized too. And from that baptism and from the instruction that Paul was able to give, because of the work of the Holy Spirit in what seemed like tiny little details, because of that, the church that Paul loved the most was born. God is at work in the small stuff, brothers and sisters. Now, I know that sometimes people feel like, well, the small stuff in my life isn't worth bothering God about. I should only bother him about big stuff. To that, I would say, nuh-uh. I would absolutely say that God works in the infinitely small, the same as he works in the infinitely large. It does not matter because God is beyond that. Either way, it doesn't matter. So if we have small stuff going on in our lives or big stuff going in our lives, either way, God can bring life to us in ways that we might not have expected. Now, I should know better than to be surprised by now. Because Jesus does tell us that our eye, which is a small part of the body, has a disproportionate effect on the whole body, that when your eye is full of light, then your body is full of light. If your eye is full of darkness, then your body is full of darkness. A small thing can make a difference in how God is at work in your life. And yet, even though I know I shouldn't be surprised, I have to say I still am. When I see amazing things happening that seem to be, how could it possibly have happened out of something so small? It does astonish me every time it happens. The Holy Spirit was at work in the creation of the whole universe billions of years ago. The Holy Spirit is also at work in the travel plans of a few missionaries 2,000 years ago. And the Holy Spirit is also at work in the lives of roughly 100 people living in small towns in the Sierra foothills. He is at work in our lives too. And he can bring resurrection life out of little details that you would not have thought possible. For example, when Rob and I were deciding to convert to Christianity, we decided that we would like to join the Westminster Presbyterian Church in Charlottesville, Virginia. And there was just one little issue. In order to join the church, we had to be baptized. Well, Rob was fine with that. You know, okay, fine, no problem. Me, I had a problem with that. And the reason why was because I felt that if I were to agree to be baptized, that my life was going to change irrevocably. You think? But the problem was that I liked the life I had, and I didn't want it to change. So I cannot believe this, but what I did was I went to the session, and I asked the session if they would let me join the church without being baptized. Go figure, but I did it. And the pastor was sort of sympathetic because he understood that I was struggling. But there was an elder there, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, the elder said correctly that being baptized was the entrance into any Christian church, and that that certainly would include Westminster Presbyterian Church in Charlottesville, Virginia. So if I wanted to join, I had to be baptized. Well, okay. Because that one elder said that one thing that he probably does not even remember anymore, because it was, goodness, 30 years ago, more than that. Anyway, long time ago. But because he said that, I did agree to be baptized. And my life did indeed change. And the old life that I had was indeed washed away, and I was indeed filled with a new resurrection life. And that is why I walked away from my career as a research chemist and became a pastor. I wouldn't be standing here today if the Holy Spirit had not given that one elder the courage to say, if you're going to join the church, you got to be baptized. Here's another example of how God works through small stuff. Consider Bill Lane. Through the years, through the years, how many hearts have been touched by the Holy Spirit through your music? Hundreds, at least, maybe even 1,000. Because you got to figure that folks struggling with their faith are strengthened by your music. You got to figure that folks who are down in the dumps have listened to your music and have felt better, have felt encouraged. And, you know, I'll bet there's people out there that have been introduced to Jesus through your songs. There have been. Okay, all right. And, you know, it was just one of those little things that got Bill started. His family was musical. And so he had that going on, and his dad gave him a big old Sherwood guitar. It's just as simple as that. a big old guitar that was nowhere near suitable for a boy, but that's what they had, and that's what Bill was given, and everything kind of went forward from there. Bill's family didn't have much money, so he never had formal music lessons, but he learned from the other musicians in his family and all around him. He learned their songs. Sometimes he writes his own songs. And the Holy Spirit does not require a whole lot of money to be able to touch the lives of hundreds, even 1,000 people. God was very much at work in your dad giving you that guitar. And that one thing has made a huge difference. And so, brothers and sisters, a prayer gathering of women on the bank of a river may not seem like much, but God worked through that small beginning to build his very favorite church. An elder having the courage to say, "You have to be baptized first," may not seem like much, but God worked through that small thing to change my life completely and through me also the lives of the people around me. A father giving his son an old guitar may not seem like much, but God has worked through that gift to bring faith and strength and hope to hundreds and maybe 1,000 people.
The seed was planted.
Absolutely it was. So what is there in your life? What do you have in your life that you're willing to offer to God? Even if it doesn't seem like it's very much. What about conversations? Do you ever have conversations? Do you ever talk to people?
Yeah, okay.
How about if you offered those conversations to God? Do you think that you might be able to touch people's hearts in ways that you would never even expect if you offer what you say to God? That elder, like I say, I'm sure he probably doesn't remember anything about it. Well, it had more impact than he could ever have known. Your conversations can have more impact than you would ever know if, again, you offer them to God and say, "God, speak through me as I am talking with other people, please." And what about hospitality? Lydia's hospitality made it possible for Paul and his associates to stay with them for a while and instruct them so that they could become a Christian church. Hospitality is, again, something that we don't think of often as being a very big deal. Well, I want to say it can indeed be a very big deal. The Philippian church was set in motion because of Lydia and her response and her hospitality. Now, you might think about that whenever Leslie says, "We need people to help with the food and the drink over in Faith Hall." What you're doing is not just providing food and drink. What you are doing is providing hospitality that God can work through to provide godly conversations and godly friendships to help people connect with the body of Christ. It is not just a simple thing. Tremendous good things can come from it. So next time you hear from the fellowship committee saying, "Could you bring something for Sunday fellowship time?" Remember, this is not just a simple little thing. This is something which can have tremendous impact. Or what about the things that you could give to help someone else set their lives on a different path? Maybe you don't have an old guitar to give to a boy who really wants to learn to play. But I'll tell you what, the grandma's house, which is right over there on the corner, they would love to have someone come and do a children's chorus with the kids who come for tutoring after school. They've asked. I haven't been able to find anyone willing to do that. Think about that. Or maybe you want to be part of the missions committee and you want to hear more about things like the campfire and how God has worked it out so that our former member Sandy is now in charge of the whole distribution of funds. There's all kinds of small things going on in your life that you could give to others and make a difference in their lives that you might not even be able to realize how big it can be. Life's beginnings are small, but life grows large and does take small things and bring resurrection life out of them. So I say to you, brothers and sisters, offer whatever you have to God, even if it's a small thing, because He can and He will use it to bring life. Amen.